We're good. All right, welcome to another episode of the Beer Opinions Podcast. My name is Pat Berger from Kaiser Tiger and Patty Long's, and with me, as always, is Bruce White of the Chicago Beer Tours.
Yeah.
Did I get Chicago?
Chicago Beer Experience.
Jesus Christ. Chicago Beer days. Experience.
Yeah. That's Chicago. Okay, man.
Are you experienced?
I don't know about that.
I'm clearly not. Oh, well. We are back, our second podcast of the year. And
waiting on a snowstorm coming in tomorrow.
I've heard there's a snowstorm coming. We'll survive.
Yeah.
And
good beer drinking weather.
Good curling weather. Yeah. And obviously a beautiful day to sit in a bar, I think.
Exactly.
And we are sitting here at Kaiser Tiger in the upstairs room, the lovely rooftop. What's it called?
Skyline
Lounge. Yeah, whatever
Please
it's called.
Please don't say rooftop.
I don't know. The Chicago Beer Experience room.
How much? I like the sound of that.
Yeah. You know, we had our employee party Sunday, and I know today's Thursday, but I'm still a little foggy. It was a burner. And, we have a couple employees here today. We have Callie Roach of Kaiser Tiger, beverage director, assistant general manager, curling ice expert, a resident artist. She does pretty much a little bit of everything and a lot of everything. So thank you, Callie, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. She's also a loyal listener of the Beer Opinions Podcast.
Right.
Yeah, one of five people. I'm very proud of I have her here. No, that's not true. I joke. We have our general manager over at Patty Long's, Dave Thompson. I'm seriously losing it today.
You don't know any names.
Ever since we hired Tompkins, I'm getting you two mixed, the last names mixed up. I am. So, Thompson. Dave. Who I've known for 15 years, but I can't get his last name right. And Dave is new to Patty Long's. He is our new addition over there, whipping the old girl into shape, and I'm sure having a blast doing it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's lying. I want to have you guys on to kind of talk about. Not only your experiences in beer and beer buying and the restaurant business in general here in Chicago, but also kind of the trends that you guys are seeing going on, because you guys have your ear to the rail, as it were, being harassed by many, many beer salesmen every week. And, y'all know what's up. So thank you for coming. And Bruce. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
You are very welcome. Yeah. He's like, I didn't have any chores. All right. So let's start with Callie. Callie, what are you seeing going on in beer right now that is maybe different from when you first started buying beer?
Well, I think obviously there's a lot of the hazy IPA still happening. I think also there's a lot of the Brut IPA, which is hopefully kind of a reactionary move to the hazy IPA. That's certainly not something that I see selling very well at Kaiser Tiger, so we've been kind of tapering off with those.
Yeah, I think the Brut IPA was a short-lived
kind of
fad.
A flash in the pan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they still have a lot of product to sell, so it's still coming back around.
Yeah,
they do. And, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I don't like that style.
The Brut's?
Yeah.
A little too dry? Or
yes. It's dumb. Like, I get it. It's like a reactionary thing to these overly sweet, hazy IPAs. Hey, let's make a really dry, clear IPA. Fuck you, Northeast IPAs. And I'm all for fucking you, Northeast IPAs. But I think this is just another, it sounded good in your head, or it's a statement beer. But at the end of the day, if you don't have any sweetness with all those hops, it's just overly bitter.
Certainly. Yeah. But I think that the one of the better counterparts to that is the pastry beers, which are selling very well here. But you know, in conjunction with all the barrel-aged things that we've been doing. And the best part is that we can balance all of those options with lagers, the really low ABV, clean drinking, so that they do like a beer and a beer as a beer and a shot. So you have a 15%, you know, pastry or BCS or, you know, Founders KBS or CBS. And meanwhile, you still have like, you know, your beer that you're drinking, like a nice clean lager. And like we're really capitalizing on enjoying selling all those options, and they're doing great.
Yeah. So, are a lot of people buying the 5 ounce version of those big beers?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the beer in a shot, but it's a beer in a beer. Obviously, it's like, you know, it's a little overpowering to your palate if that's what you're drinking the entire night. So you're not going to do that. But to balance that with like, you know, an easy, clean drinking lager, and I've been killing it on those. And it's super fun because people get to taste, you know, that's, I think, our best offering at Kaiser Tiger is to be able to do a 5 ounce option of a variety of beers. And that's been really killing it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we first opened, and Callie has been here since day one, by the way. She is also a Patty Long's veteran. So she has been with the company a long time. And when we first opened, I wanted to do that 5 ounce option. And Chris, my business partner, was like, I don't want to sell $2 fucking beers, you know. And I got it. But, like, you know, the whole idea of having all these weird esoteric beers on tap is that people can try a lot of them. And if you're drinking only pints, you're kind of, you know,
you're committed to a beer.
Yeah, you're committed to a beer, and you're not going to try more than 3 or 4 beers.
At the same time, like when you're looking at these high ABV beers, like 5 ounces is the right amount,
plenty, right?
Especially for the palate too.
It really is.
Well, I mean, you're looking at $12 or, you know, $6 a 5 ounce, $12 10 ounce. You know, you're not going to go all in. It's the same thing as a pint at that point. So it definitely like makes a difference to be able to try a bunch of things that you can't get at a lot of other bars. And so to pour some like really heavy hitting whale beers, but to make a night out of it and still have some, you know, nice lagers and pilsners.
Yeah. And I think you brought up a really good point, which is, you know, a lot of beers are flavor wise really strong. So you wouldn't want a full pint of it anyway. I'm sorry. I'm going to take off my earphones. We've got like a voice of God double thing going.
We're putting some effects on your voice, Bruce, because, you know.
It is freaking me out. I'm sorry, guys.
We're going to pink the hell out of this.
but no, I think it's interesting because you're able to capture that. I'm going to stop right there.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing.
going back to what you were saying about the 5 ounce pour, which we do at Patty's as well, especially for anything that's really high ABV. And when you look at something like, when you compare it to wine and you have something that's like between 11 and 14%, depending on your style and everything like that. And then you have a beer that's the same alcohol percentage, your typical wine pour is about 5 ounces, you know, in a restaurant. So, right. 5 ounce beer at the same ABV. I mean, that just, it's harmonious, you know? So.
I've been drinking a lot of wine lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if any of you experience this problem, but, you know, I tend to drink it the same.
Same pace.
Same pace as a beer. And I'm finding that wine is getting me fucked up.
That's what it's for.
Am I the only one? Now, are you not supposed to drink a pint of wine?
You can.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. All my glasses at home are pints. I'll pour smaller ones. But I am. I'm literally having a problem with, how quickly I'm drinking it. And then, you know.
You might want to try a coffee mug. The coffee mug of
the
wine.
Old coffee. Well, that's
try
the
a
old
wine glass.
That's the old trick at work.
Whoa!
Try a wine glass, maybe.
They make glasses for wine.
They do. It's an age-old tradition, Pat.
I'll look into it. I'll look into it.
Seriously,
I also, Callie, I also really like your point about kind of having the beer in the beer versus the beer in the shot. And I'm going to do that. I've never done that, and I'm thinking to myself, why haven't I done that? It makes perfect sense with some of these really strong, particularly the barrel-aged, the stouts and whatever. That's just awesome to pair those.
I mean, ideally, you want to be able to enjoy those beers, and what you're going to enjoy them with, maybe against, it's not a glass of water. It's going to be another beer.
Yeah.
And finding that balance in that in our list, I think, was something I struggled with, like maybe the first 2 weeks of winter. And then I like really dialed in on that, and I was really happy with how it's been turning out, because it's been probably a favorite most of the customers, and the bartenders get to recommend, here's what you're going to drink and try and sample and taste, and here's what you're going to chug.
It also works out really well because, in the last however many years, as we've seen things grow from stylistically from, pale ale, IPA, pilsner, stout, porter, into fruited IPAs and various types of sours, barrel aging, fooder aging, all of these wood aged in oak, all of these different things and sometimes trends with all of these different flavors that are exploding into the beer world. A 5 ounce pour is a really nice way for people to build their own flight and have a taste of pretty much everything that they walked into the bar to taste, and the increase in variety of flavors. I think that, a smaller pour of many different things is kind of a sign of the times too.
Yeah. So variety is still king, right? I mean,
sure.
It is. People are not, despite recent efforts to kind of showcase flagship beers from breweries, February is some beer writers are gearing up to call it flagship February and try to, get some promotion for these beers that could very well die out. The Sierra Nevada Pale Ales, the Fat Tires of the world, all of these beers that, people just aren't excited about. They're all fine beers. They're all, some of them are really, really great beers, but they've been around a long time, and you untapped it on your app 8 years ago. Why would you possibly drink it again? That kind of a thing is going on. Has been going on, and I think it still is. I mean, it's still kind of it's a struggle for brewers, I think, who are constantly having to come up with a new beer because people are going, oh, that was great beer. Now what's the next one? And no one's revisiting.
Yeah. I mean, you used to have your staples, besides, Fat Tire and
Alpha King.
There we go. Thank you.
Callie might be drinking an Alpha King.
I mean, in the case of always. Alpha King specifically, it's a fantastic beer that I would drink literally any time.
Always my go-to. Yeah.
So, and you have these beers that are fantastically made. And so, you've got a brewery's, essentially, if it's a flagship, it should be considered their best effort, one of them at least. And I think that seeing variety kind of cut into that in terms of what a brewery is capable of at their pinnacle is a little bit damaging,
I mean, we've had breweries like Pipeworks who opened on the idea that they would never make the same beer twice, and that was that worked for them, to be honest. Of course, now that they're bigger, they've got to establish a flagship. And try, they're realizing it's difficult to move, 30,000 barrels of 400 different beers. This is still what the world is demanding of breweries, and everyone is coming out with a new beer every month, even the big guys, right? So I don't see that changing. I don't know about you guys, but.
I mean, I think obviously it's great to have a core product that everyone knows and loves and establishes your brand, but to have one-offs is awesome. We try to field trip to Pipeworks every 2 months or so and try new beers, and then we always get them in. Their Celray this summer was amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with, being beer bacon sausage at Kaiser Tiger. It was like a celery salt beer, and it was delicious.
It is amazing that how many hits they have. Every brewery has some misses. Some breweries have a lot of misses. But considering the variety coming out of Pipeworks and how many of them are really exceptional is a testament, I think, to what they're doing.
Completely agreed. I think the hard part as a buyer is to trust and buy without tasting. And that sometimes happens when you're looking at breweries like Pipeworks who aren't bringing you samples and the reps aren't coming by and they're self-distributed. And so obviously you have to have some trust in that. And I think that, you know, you invest a little bit in that, but you know, they've hardly disappointed.
No. And sometimes you take your field trip out there and then, the next day call up the rep and go, "Hey, I want that beer." And he goes, "Oh, it's gone.
It's gone."
Yeah. Yeah.
It's part of building relationships with breweries too. You know, I mean, which, you know, we obviously do. It's one of the things that we do probably to put that trust into a brewery and have that brewery bring you something that's like, this is good for you, you know, as opposed to this is what we're trying to sell, you know, to anybody. This is what we think would fit with your program, you know.
That's a lot of great points. And I just am curious, you know, and I'll open this up to everybody, you know, how many breweries, and you don't have to name names, but, you know, do you trust meet that threshold? Pipeworks probably was one of those that would meet that, but are there others? And I'm assuming there probably aren't that many that you would kind of maybe do sight unseen, but maybe there are. I'm not sure.
I mean, there's certainly a few, but part of that has to go with the brewery itself. Where, mm-hmm. like, I know Three Floyds is going to sell just on the name. I know Pipeworks is going to sell in Chicago just on the name. Mm-hmm. If it's not the best beer they've ever made, it's still going to sell.
Uh-huh.
And ideally, like, I want to buy only the best beer, but I also want to buy beer that sells and that people are excited about and interested in. And so, obviously, if the beer isn't to my taste, but I know it'll sell well, it's a no-brainer. And part of that is the cachet of the brewery itself. And I think Pipeworks specifically, like, you know, it doesn't have to be their best beer. And I know it'll still, like, be a winner. When you take chances on new breweries like Alter or Brewdog, or not Brewdog, I meant Bulldog. It has to be an exceptional beer at that point, because
you could put Brewdog in there.
It's an established brewery.
In Scotland.
Noted.
Reestablishing themselves.
Conversely, are there breweries that maybe they have an excellent beer, but because, I guess you kind of answered that saying new breweries it better be really good, because otherwise people won't know it. They won't buy it on name alone.
The fact of the matter is that there's a ton of breweries in Chicago, you know? And so if there's a new brewery that's bringing you some sort of product and you're drinking it and you're like, this is not, I can find better product from a brewery that I know and trust, I'm going to go with that, you know? Because, you know, taking shots in the dark with the new kid on the block, you know, you can hit a home run every once in a while, but, you know, it's a little bit less stable ground. So,
but then you have anomalies. Like, I think Twisted Hippo is going to be amazing. I tasted one of their beers the other day, and it wasn't what I needed for my list that week. But I think that they're gonna crush it. And you can kind of usually sense those things about breweries. We have like Old Nation M43 on our list downstairs.
Yeah, in the Michigan. And
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. I mean, there's breweries that I would love to get in, like Scratch and like other things that like you just don't have the availability, and I see them at Beer Temple and I really want them, but their distribution is so limited. So it's like there's so many breweries that you can get really excited about, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of those hit the market soon. But yeah, Twisted Hippo I think is going to probably kill it.
Yeah, I have not tasted anything. They've only been open, since Friday, I think.
Yeah, they took over the old, they call it a haunted space.
They're in the cursed space.
Cursed space.
On Montrose and, I don't know, something.
Yeah, it's west. Where, what, Break Room was
there? Yeah, Break
it?
Room was there.
And Finch's before that.
Yep, or Finch's.
Finch Kitchen was there. Yeah.
It's a beautiful space, or at least, I think they've redesigned it, but...
Yeah, I've seen pictures. It looks nice. I got to get over there this week. They're very nice people. I hope they do well.
They put these planters in the middle of their tables, and dollars to donuts, someone's going to pee in them. Just got to say that.
They're going to pee in them?
That's what people do. They pee in planters right in the middle of the table.
That's from legit Kaiser Tiger experience, I'm assuming.
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
There is a story behind every rule. You know, if you see a sign that says, you know, please don't pee in the planters, you're guaranteed someone peed in those planters.
Exactly.
It's both funny and sad.
So let me ask you guys, we'll start with maybe with Dave. What does it take for a new brewery to come in and sell you a product? What you know, how does that go down, and what are you looking for?
Well, it depends. I mean, it starts with the rep, you know, and how they approach the potential sale, you know. Mm-hmm. If they come at you and they're like, and they're exceptionally bold,
aggressive,
yeah, and they haven't looked at your list, they don't know anything about your business, which, you know, in this case has been established for 12 years, you know, mm-hmm. If they are just looking at something where they make some sort of, you know, half-hearted connection between their beer and your establishment because there's a name in common, or, you know, something like that. Their beer has the word pig in it, or, you know, like whatever, something like that. I'm not really apt to listen to this person because they're not interested in creating a relationship. They're interested in making a sale. And, which is fine, but it personally turns me off right away, you know. But for a new brewery to come in and say, hey, we have this offering, I think it would go well with your food. I think it would be, a little bit different than some of the other things that you have existing on draft right now. You know, and if not now, maybe a little bit down the line, you know, if they're,
so you know, you're looking for a thoughtful approach that, ties their product in with your concept.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's, you know, anybody who's doing beer buying, you know, they're curating a list that's well-rounded. They're putting time and effort into making sure that the, guests that walk through the door are experiencing something, that they're going to look at that tap list and be like, wow, this is great. I'm so glad I wound up here, you know, and for, the rep to, kind of notice that and appreciate that and say, we have a product that is outstanding that's going to fit in well with your program, I think is really, really good, because they're looking at two things. So they're looking at their program and they're looking at your program and seeing how it can fit.
Right. Yeah. Cause a beer can be great and still not fit in with your program. And I've run into that quite a bit, you know, with people, well, I mean, the famous one was my Sam Adams experience, where, you know, I can't sell Sam Adams to save my life. No mm-hmm. one will buy it at my bars. You know, some of those beers are really great, but it doesn't fit with what I'm doing. You know, if they can buy your beer at 7-Eleven.
The airport beer, wasn't it?
Yeah, the old airport beer thing. Yeah. It doesn't matter how good it is. It's just too ubiquitous. Like, I'm not a bar, you know, our concept is not to sell ubiquitous beers. It's to sell, you know, esoteric beers. So, yeah, there's, you know, that's definitely something I think about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the quintessential Allagash White. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could have Allagash White or Omegang Wit. Which one sparks a conversation?
Cal, you know, I ran the numbers today.
I believe you. And it was probably...
So, yeah, a little backstory for the listeners. We sell Omegang Wit. I don't know. I don't even know how to pronounce it. But we've been selling it for 12 years. And it is our answer to the question of, I'll have a Blue Moon. Well, we don't have Blue Moon. We have Omegang Wit. And it's a very, very big seller for us. Their big competitor is Allagash White, which is infinitely more popular than Omegang Wit. More people have heard of it. And somehow the distributor ran out of Omegang Wit last week. So we have Allagash White on. And it sold like fucking hotcakes. It's our number one beer this weekend.
It was.
It beat Alpha King. It beat Pilsner Urquell.
It was right underneath Beer of the Month, which it is was,
yeah,
no
Beer of the Month doesn't count.
It always goes Tito's, Beer of the Month, and then usually a couple of beers. And then
either Alpha King or Pilsner Urquell, or, you know, sometimes Dovetail's in there.
And then Large Fry.
Yeah. And then the French fries. This weekend, Allagash White.
I know.
Number one.
I mean, of course it did. But it doesn't spark conversation. It doesn't, you know, invite a guest to try something new. So, you know, that's when you question, like, why are you how are you choosing the beers that you're choosing? Are you choosing something? Because I think Omagang Wit is a very delicious beer and potentially underrated or underknown, whereas Allagash White is an easy go-to. Do you want to take people out of their comfort zone and have them like experience something new?
Yeah, I mean, both beers are great.
Yeah, I think. Absolutely.
And you guys feel free to correct me on your these establishments, but I've noticed that a lot of times, sometimes I'll want some type of Belgian or wit beer, and those are the only options. Because they're not a commonly produced style, I think, for craft brewers. Certainly not.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Used to be. Yeah. Not in the wintertime. Usually they'll be also summer. They'll be targeted more to the summer. So a lot of times it might just be that's the only one in that category that's kind of available to scratch that itch.
But yeah. You know, there's also the ones kind of, if you look back at, you know, some other breweries that seem to have kind of fallen by the wayside in popularity and or their popularity has waned over the years. Like right now we're carrying Unibrew Blanc de Chambly as kind of an alternative, you know,
sure.
A fantastic beer.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic brewery, you know, and I don't see it a lot. I mean, for me personally, Modide was my gateway beer into craft
beer. It's got a bunch of stuff working against it. It's imported.
Uh-huh.
Yep. No offense to our neighbors to the north, but it's Canadian. And no one's like, hey, what Canadian beer do you have? And like, no one has ever said that ever in any of our bars. And it's Belgian style, which is also on kind of on the down. So it has a lot of stuff working against it. It's the old Uni Brew, but a great brewery and great beer.
Yeah.
Findemont is actually our most selling bottled beers, but I have to say it's because it is the highest percentage, under $8, which means that the staff can buy it, get it for their shift drink. So.
So thanks to the staff.
Yeah. La fin de monde. I buy right case every week for them.
I do really enjoy that both of those beers. Those are great.
That's like years ago here at Kaiser, I insisted that we put Anchor Steam on the bottle list. You know, it's a great beer, another flagship that's kind of lost interest by everyone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I'm putting it on there. Putting my foot down. This is an American classic. This started craft beer in America. This beer, putting it on the menu, and lo and behold, I'm doing inventory. And first couple of weeks we had it, and it's flying, you know. And I've reordering, you know, cases. And hey, I was right, you know. I knew people would get on board with Anchor Steam. And then inventory came around. We're like, wait a minute, we didn't sell any of these. None of them came through the POS, and. Let's go check the camera, and one of the cooks was stealing it. Like, God damn it.
He's like, which one of these is not moving?
And if I hadn't have been like, I'm putting this on. It's going to be great. Like the second I saw them, you know, leave an inventory, I was like, I was right. Instead of going, wait a minute, this is unusual. I don't sell this much of any bottle, much less fucking Anchor Steam. But you know,
how fast was the depletion rate on this?
This dude, the video was hilarious. He was like, had every pocket filled with Anchor Steams. And I guess he was like slamming them in the bathroom and then throwing them out in the trash. And,
oh, geez.
You know, when we confronted him, I was like, you want to see the video? He goes, no. No, I don't.
Did he earn the nickname Steamboat or anything?
Yeah.
Steamboat Willie.
Yep, there you go.
Pretty sure it was Oscar.
Was that his name? I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I don't remember his name. Anyway, go ahead, Bruce.
So one thing I've noticed is that, you know, a Hop Review, a blog, beer blog in Chicagoland, they keep a really good list of Chicago breweries. Both in the city and the suburbs. And I pay real close attention in particular to the city list. And what I've noticed is about, I want to say the last 2 years, that list, the number of overall breweries has been about the same and even dipped a little bit. So it kind of peaked up a little over 70. And I just checked it this week and it was around 67. So, you know, one thing I wanted to say and ask your insights was, you know, I think we might have at least temporarily kind of reached a plateau for craft beer, which is crazy because for a while there, it seemed like a new brewery was opening up every other week and they still might be, but there's breweries now closing too. So yeah,
they're not closing. They're just getting tap rooms.
Yeah, right. But I guess, have you noticed as buyers that maybe there are less new breweries or not really coming in and sampling their beers? And maybe I'm just reading the data wrong.
I guess the new breweries that I'm seeing are not, because you're talking about the Chicago proper.
Chicago proper, okay. Right.
I mean, the new breweries that I'm, that I've personally been in, that have been approaching me have been outside of the city of Chicago, I guess,
sure.
Now that you mention it. But,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of a plateau, I mean, there's only so much that you can make before you're making a surplus and people can't buy it because there's right. too many options, you know, so.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think we also had, when we had our explosion of breweries, a lot of them were really small, like never, ever going to make any money small, you know. They were passion projects, right? They were mm-hmm. making it in their garage on a slightly larger system than my homebrew system at home. and that's great. And I don't discourage those people, but it's not a money making venture. So maybe after 2 years of that, you kind of go, all right, well, this was fun, but you know, it's back to the IT world or wherever I came from, you know, that kind of a thing. I mean, I have seen some of that go down. A lot of the nanos are dropping off. But, I do feel like we're still getting breweries I've never heard of soliciting us almost every week.
Yeah, I mean, I probably see like 30 reps Monday. I mean, it's still insane, in my opinion. Again, like the biggest part of that is like I think they're all just have tap rooms. It's not opening a brewery. It's opening a brewery plus tap room. Or the established breweries that have been available for the last 2 years are all opening tap rooms.
Yep. Yeah.
That's proliferating extensively everywhere.
I think tap rooms are saturated too. Bars are certainly, we were saturated last year, I think. I think places are closing and places aren't opening up with quite as often as they were 2 years ago, bars and restaurants and stuff.
But I think the breweries that are succeeding are the ones that have a flagship and are still doing successful one-offs. Maplewood specifically, sure. Mars specifically, mm-hmm. Pipeworks, of course. But I mean, they're making amazing beer. They've really dialed a lot of that stuff in. So they have their core product that you can always count on. And then they, you know, their reputation and their handle downstairs, like it says it all. And people just ask for that. The same way they ask for like a hazy IPA, they'll ask for Noon Whistle. Mm-hmm. And that was one I think that was like a real big surprise to me. It was like Noon Whistle took off this year.
Yeah, Noon Whistle is one of my, for especially for the hazy IPAs, mm-hmm. one of my favorites. So I'm happy to hear they're doing well. That's great.
To me, it's like the REM of beer. Like all their beers taste the same to me.
Totally.
REM songs also. All Michael's type. Yeah. But they sell the same.
Gummy Whistle.
We'll talk afterwards,
yeah,
Kelly.
Squishy gummy.
Send all your hate mail about all you REM fans to Callie.
To Morrissey.
fucking Morrissey. I don't think there's been quite the slowdown or anything. That is an interesting number that it's kind of stayed the same because I do feel like they're still opening constantly, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we just had Twisted Opa open last week.
I was shocked. Because I hadn't checked it in a while, and I checked it this week, and I was like 67, and Hop Review is...
Now, obviously, the overall number, like what they call Chicagoland, is going up because we're now we have Chicagoland, I don't know what that includes, the suburbs, I guess, right?
Suburbs, sometimes they include...
Sometimes part of Indiana.
Indiana and part of Wisconsin.
Northwest Indiana. Yeah. So that is, county, now have the most breweries of...
It's over 200, I think.
Anywhere in the country, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, 200.
Well, and the Chicago suburbs are vast and populated, so it makes sense that they are. I mean, there are more. How many? It's 10 million ish, and I think 7 million ish live in the burbs. Yeah. So,
and the taproom concept is great for. Well, it's great. Period. Let's admit it. It's a great concept, but in the suburbs, especially where you have to drive there, so you're not. You know, well, in theory, you're not getting hammered or anything at the tap room, but you can take a crawler or a growler or whatever, or a six pack home from that brewery. I think that's, you know, the suburbs kind of lend to that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but having a session at a tap room or a bar, you know, or, you know, even, you know, a beer fest sometimes, you know, like whatever. That's the travel. It can be the most difficult part, especially if you're going, you know, to a place that's far away, you know?
Yeah. Who's going to drive me home, Dave? Who's driving me home?
Isn't there a Cars song?
That's what I say every time one of these breweries like, you got to come visit me. I'm like, fine. You driving me home?
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I'll be there.
That was
where are you in Tinley? Yeah. Who's driving me home?
That's what we were talking about forever with.
Not a real place.
That was Dark Lord for years. You know, it's like, it's easy to get to, it's hard to get back, you know, like,
no doubt.
And, you know, I think maybe that's kind of some of the reasoning for seeing some of the things that we're seeing, like, you know, sessionable beers, low ABV, you know, that kind of trend that I've been
noticing. So that's interesting. Let's talk about that, because I was approached with two. Well, I think we all were when I say I believe you guys were there. We were approached with two low alcohol, low calorie craft beers. Right. Lagunitas has come out with one. I still think they should have changed it. It's called Daytime, which makes sense, but they had a daytime out. Maybe it
should have been called Daylight.
Maybe they didn't change the name because of the government shutdown. They're like, oh, well, we still got that daytime label, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a different beer than that Daytime that came out a couple years ago, and it's under 100 calories, and it's 4%, maybe 3.8, so I don't know.
100 calories.
100 calories, 4%.
Ballast Point, same thing.
Ballast Point has one. 99.
Stone. Huh. They called it 99. Huh. Yeah. Right?
Yep.
Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't buy Ballast Point, so.
Oh. Callie's throwing down the gauntlet.
I shouldn't
have said West Loop.
By the way, we're invited to their party at the tap room next week. I'm serious.
I didn't get that email.
Anyway. So where do you think this, I did taste these beers. I mean, you know, here's my opinion. They are kind of hop watery, you know. They remind me of the session IPAs that were coming out. You know, they're not bad, but for me, it's like you need some, you need some malt sweetness to back up the hops. But I get it. Like, you can't put out a craft light beer because it has to taste like, you know, the public has to taste craft beeriness, right?
Sure.
And to them, I think that's hops.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
so they have to. It has to be hoppy, right? Well, I don't know.
There's also, I mean, if you consider the source, like Lagunitas, they're making West Coast style, so it's gonna
be
they
don't make anything not hoppy
naturally, that makes a lot of sense in terms of their branding. I think.
Yeah.
But a few are trying. I think Founders came out with their Solid Gold, which I think is
But that's not that's not being marketed as low calorie.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. You're right. That's like a
Out with just a light beer. You know, like Sam Adams did, and it's been out a long time, and it's pretty popular, I think. But no one's taking that light beer category and just making it on a smaller scale. They're making so-called IPAs that are light, right?
Sure.
I mean, I would certainly buy that beer for the summer. I think that would be a very good popular can in our beer garden bar, the same way that Hopo Little Guys will, which is a new innovation. Instead of going taller,
with the little
cans,
buddy,
yeah,
little buddies,
little buddies. I totally want to hold that can and
that
feel like a giant.
Oh, it's totes adorbs.
And you know, look, I mean, I love the Ponies of High Life. You know, that for that they've had for years
the little
and
tiny
years
high
and
life.
Years. Little 7 ounce guys. You know,
yeah,
like,
it's good for
it's
Bloody
awesome.
Mary.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't have time to get cold,
but
to get warm rather.
The only domestic brand that is growing is an uber light beer from Michelob. Right, Michelob Gold, Ultra Gold, or whatever, is crushing it. It's the only macro brand that's seen major growth. So, are the craft breweries kind of seeing that? Going, let's get a little piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a bad move, right? But is the populace going to notice? And do craft beer enthusiasts? Do they give a shit about calories? They sure don't seem to.
I think this kind of goes the same way that you talk about.
Look at them.
I mean, look at me.
They look great.
For crying out loud. Look in the mirror, Pat.
Start caring. It goes goes the same way as you look at those hard seltzer alcohol options.
Yes.
They were exploding,
yeah. And that was they were low calorie, right? Yep. Yeah. And I mean, we always joke about it. Cali in the summer, we're a Tito's and soda bar. That's all seems to be all we sell. And that's, I think, a calorie thing. I think women and men, some men, you know, when they go on a carb-free diet or whatever, that's your drink of choice, right? The vodka soda.
Well, and I think that all of this is in our minds right now because it's January. You know, and, you know, you got people doing sober January, you've got New Year's resolutions, you know, like, I'm going to lose some weight, I'm going to do this. So, like,
I'm going to do it this year. Dave. Yeah. I know I said this.
Why, Pat? You look great.
Past.
Well, come on.
No, I'm going to do it. This is the year.
Okay, fine. I'm holding you to it.
No, he's not.
I'm kidding. I did read, just today, actually, was reading an article about how millennial and Gen Z, now that they're drinking age or starting to get in there, definitely are drinking less quantity. So I think that the Anheuser-Busch's, the big brewers are really
targeting pussies.
But they're, I talked drunkenly to a real cocky Anheuser-Busch exec. I met him at the bar. I don't know his name. And he said that low alcohol or non-alcoholic beverages are the future for them. So,
a lot of people say that.
You can, you know,
you've been seeing that trend in cocktails as well lately. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about cocktail-focused bars, a lot of them, you see a trend towards things like a sherry cobbler, or you know, drinks that are made with fortified wine or something like that. An Americano cocktail, you know, things like that that are, you can have a few of them because, you know, if you have, you know, three tiki drinks and you're on the floor, you know, then what kind of a night are you having? You know, so people are looking for a little bit more longevity, and which to me says that they're looking for the third space. You know, and it's not home, it's not work, it's a place where you can loosen the tie. You know,
yeah,
or whatever.
This is from the person who had a shot of Campari for his birthday.
That's I love I love shooting Campari. I love it. It's delicious. It's one of my favorite things in the world, besides you, Kelly.
It's a good. Aww. It's nice. I think the calorie thing is it's a real. I think people, you know, wine and spirits are on the rise. All of this is cyclical. People will stop caring about calories, you know, at some point 10 years from now. God forbid they ever come out with calorie counts on these pastry stouts. I mean, what could it possibly be? A 12-ounce pastry stout. What do you? What's your guess?
900.
You think it's that high? Could be. I don't know.
I mean, well, the sugar. The IPAs. I want to say like the IPAs.
Like two Big Macs.
What's like an average IPA is like 250 to 300, right? Like a pretty. Like a 6.5-7% IPA. I want to say somewhere around there.
So you got a ton of malt.
16-ounce, yeah.
And then you got a. You know, a ton of like,
then
sugar, lactose sugar or vanilla.
And alcohol itself,
chicken nuggets, all types of sugar,
peanut butter.
Yeah,
you know,
the Oreos. Pizza you get at your home.
Exactly, a ranch beer. That's what we need.
I can't believe that beer made of waffles is so high in calories.
Exactly, can you believe this?
What the hell?
Fried chicken beer.
It tastes like diabetes.
Find some toes.
Well, they're going to start putting nutritional labels, I think, on Budweiser products. Not all of them. I think just Bud Light, all that. And I think that is their ploy. They don't have to do that. I think they're going to be like, hey, we put all our nutritional info on the label, including our ingredients, and we challenge the craft beer people to do the same. I don't think you'll be too happy with the results. I think that's what they're trying to do. I mean, the craft beer people aren't going to put shit on their labels.
No.
They don't have to, and it costs money to do so. So, why, you know, what's the return on investment on that?
You know? Especially when they're coming out with a new beer every so often. Like, they're not going to do it for their one-offs. I mean, that would be...
No. Yeah. No, you can't. I mean, you just can't afford to do that.
Right.
But, you know, even in the restaurant world, they're making... There are some federal guidelines. You know, if you have a certain amount of stores, you have to have nutritional information for all your dishes on your menu. I don't remember the number of stores. It's like 14 or something. We're not there, Cali. Don't worry.
Thank God.
Don't worry. We don't have to. The bomb. Yeah. Can you imagine the nutritional information on the bomb?
Sodium alone is just gonna just
a year's worth, probably.
If you have to ask, it's very low in carbs, though. Bomb's low in carbs. I think it's all meat.
Atkins whole, compliant.
Yeah.
Is it
Whole
30? People are Whole 30.
Is that the?
Yeah. There we go. Bun
someone paleo.
We have a new second place bomb challenger, don't we, Dave?
We do.
Yeah. Last week, someone took it down in about 8 minutes.
Yeah, 8 minutes and a handful of seconds. But yeah, so.
Any word on whether they're still alive?
Still, yeah, apparently still alive. I mean, he's posting on Instagram just in the last few days.
Oh, good,
so,
good,
you
good
know,
to hear.
Like he's, right.
Just
he's,
checking.
Yep, no, he's doing fine. So apparently the bomb is healthy for you. It's good for you. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, the bomb is what, 5 pounds? I say 5 pounds of sausage mixed with bacon and then covered with a weave mat of bacon. Barbecue sauce, is that right?
I believe it's ground beef, it's ground pork.
Ground beef, ground pork.
Yeah, it's a, it's a beef pork mixture. And then stuffed with bacon,
pepper,
wrapped in bacon.
Yeah. It tastes like a heart attack covered in rainbows. That's what I always say. Yeah, it's
bacon
delicious.
Rainbows?
Bacon rainbows. But it's good.
That's not what we put on the menu, Bruce. It's not a heart attack covered in rainbows, but it's close.
Yeah,
it's close. Well, that's good. I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up, Callie, because I'm still kind of chafed about it. But I turned on WGN Morning News yesterday, and Anna Belleval around town was at some freaking bar I've never heard of in Wicker Park curling on their rooftop.
No way.
Yeah.
Was it a rubber mat or a piece of plastic?
It was synthetic ice is what they called it.
Fuck her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Right? Fucking Anna Belleval.
Not
you,
a real
when
thing.
You want to see what real ice is, you come on down to Kaiser Tiger, Anna. Because whatever shithole you were at over in Wicker Park, it ain't doing it right.
That's not a real thing. Unless you've struggled and it brought out your like imported ice curling scraper and scraped the frost off the ice and then had to relay your vinyl mesh targets 3 times. And dealt with your 2-ton compressor system that runs glycol underneath, you're not doing a damn thing.
Fucking right. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I agree, Callie. So I just, you know, I was watching yesterday, and Angela, my lovely wife, was like, you should bring that up on the podcast. That
did you,
son of a bitch, Annabella Vall.
Did you break the TV? I would have broken the TV.
I was kind of pissed. And then I got an email today, someone wanted to do their party here. And was like, yeah, it's between whatever that place is called and Kaiser Tiger because we want to curl. You know, so it took all of my strength not to email back. Well, if you want to, you know, do some bullshit synthetic ice curling, you go to that other place. You're the real deal. That's, well, we're kind of the real deal. Not, we're still not Olympic curling, but at least we have fucking ice, right?
Like 30-pound, like 28-pound imported stones, not like little plastic pieces of shit with wheels.
That's right. That's right. They're from Canada.
Expletive, expletive, expletive.
Yes. Yes. So, just want to throw that in there. Anyway, Dave, how you doing? We got a big release tomorrow at Patty Long's.
Yeah. Collaboration with Dovetail.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. So, I did want to mention this because, you know... shameless self-promotion is what this podcast is all about. And we were invited to blend a spontaneously fermented beer with the owner of Hop Leaf, Michael Roper, our only 3-time guest here at Beer Opinions. We tasted like 12 or 14 barrels or something and then began blending them and seeing how they tasted together and chose two and put them together. And that will premiere tomorrow night at Patty Long's, which is tomorrow's what, Friday the 18th. And then we'll be here at Kaiser Tiger soon after. For a while, Kaiser Tiger got more beer than Patty Long's. But Patty Long's got the release. Sorry, Callie. She's giving me the eye.
No. All good.
And if for those of you who don't know, Dovetail obviously is famous for their lagers. We've had them on the podcast. And they do a lot of German style stuff, but they have a real deal cool ship, just like the Lambic producers in Belgium.
It's incredible.
It is, and they pump the hot wort over there, let it cool overnight, open up the windows, and let the natural yeast floating around Ravenswood do their thing. And it's an incredible experiment to me, because like even when they, you know, when they first opened, they're showing me all this. I'm like, what the this could all taste like shit, guys. They're like, yeah, it could, yeah, you know, guess we'll throw it out then, you know. I'm here to tell you, it does not taste like shit. Well. The occasional barrel tastes, you know, bad.
Funky.
Yeah. But this experiment to me was a huge, huge success. They've released a couple things from this. Tomorrow at Patty Long's, we will have, it's got a really creative name, as all the Dovetail beers do. It's called...
Ignat?
It's called like special barrel release.
Yeah,
it's special barrel release. You know, to go along with the Dovetail Lager and the Dovetail Pilsner. I know. Their marketing department over there, I'm going to have a talk with them.
It's awesome, you know. Though, that, like, you know, not only... So you've got things like... you've got beers that are mild fermentation and kettle sour and all of that kind of stuff. But if you have an actual cool ship, and then afterwards you're actually blending... barrels.
Yeah.
I mean, that's such an old world technique of doing it, and something that's very unique and very, very cool.
Incredible.
You know?
Yes.
I think it's like, it's beyond cool that you had the opportunity to do it and we have the opportunity to pour it, you know?
It is. And it was a direct result of the Beer Opinions podcast. So I guess the boys at Dovetail heard, the episode where Roper and I are, bitching about tap rooms, and you know, one of our suggestions was, hey, if you have a tap room, that's great, but try to engage, you know, if you want to sell a lot of beer outside your tap room, you need to engage those bars with your brand and not just release every special beer in your tap room and, you know, do all of your special events in your tap room. You need to still engage with those retail accounts, you know, just like you did before you had your tap room. And Dovetail listened to that and came up with this idea for me and Roper to come do this beer. So finally, Beer Opinions is paying off.
There you go.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That's what this boils down to.
Not for me. Not
36
for me.
Episode. No, yeah. Bruce is still waiting for some sort of anything from this, but I got mine. I'm done. This is our last episode. Dropping the mic. Yep. So anyway, that's going to be great. Very excited about it. And, you know, maybe we should go around, see what else is going on. Callie, what's happening at Kaiser Tiger?
A bunch of busy days coming up. January's solidly packed. Luckily, curling is up and running and going very well. My favorite part, of course, is that the air temperature is pretty low, and so there's no oxygen in the air, which makes no cloudy ice. So it's looking smooth, clean.
Smooth and fast.
Callie has learned more about ice than I think she ever probably cared to.
Ice, hot water heaters. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Also, I could go on.
We're a learning experience here at Kaiser. There's no lack of learning experiences. Never boring. That's our motto.
Yep. I'm like Bill Nye, the science guy of restaurants. Loving it.
How about you, Dave, over at Patty's? What's shaking?
We are gearing up for all of the Six Nations rugby games in February, which is just a couple of weeks away.
Yep. Go Ireland.
Yeah, those are going to be big for us on the weekends, and we're very excited about it. Plus a couple other things that we've got in the works. We're doing a scotch and bacon tasting.
Oh, nice.
Pairing. So
tell us about that.
Yeah. So we're going to be... teaming up with Brewcladic and scotches, and which are fantastic, fantastic scotch producers. Talking about the differences between their products, and also pairing them with some of our different cuts of bacon. So, you know, they're heavily peated, heavily smoked. Option is going to be paired with, you know, our jowl bacon because of its decadence, as a nice little counter to that. Their classic laddie, which is unpeated, unsmoked scotch, is going to be paired with our rashers, our Irish bacon, which is also unsmoked. So,
Oh, that sounds good.
Scotch and bacon.
Oh, mm-hmm. That is awesome. And Robbie Burns Day is
what's the
up,
date so of that?
That's in early February. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Well, check PattyLongs.com or Patty Longs on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. We'll,
or just show up every day.
We'll waiting see, for it, saying, where's the scotch and bacon?
Yeah, we'll be posting everything on Instagram. So
awesome. That sounds great.
Cool. Bruce, what you got shaking?
You know, we are doing limited beer tours, so you can check the website. You know, no better way to brave the cold than to drink some beer. And, you know, you shouldn't let the winter stop you. We're hardy Midwesterners here. Reminds me, around this time last year, the polar vortex, one of those hit. And I sent an email out being like, it's going to be negative 1,000 degrees. You can cancel if you want. And my guide was like, please cancel. And a group of five was like, no, we're going to do it. And so they showed up. I was like, where are these guys coming from? Like everybody, it was one of those panics, you know. And they were from Edmonton, Canada.
Oh,
and they were like, this is pretty average for us, you know. So, but seriously, they had a blast. The guide, maybe a little cranky at the beginning, but he was doing well. And so we do beer tours. And then I do want to give a shout out to, I was at the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild meeting, and I ran into the Hopewell, some of the Hopewell crew, tap room brewery up in Logan Square. Awesome brewery. They were super nice and loyal listeners of the podcast. So,
oh, good. Yeah, well, Jonathan is Mr. January in the Patty Long's calendar.
Yeah, Patty Long's beefcake calendar.
The owner of Hopewell.
But they were in Clover Club and Cold Brewer, some of my favorite local beers. So they're great. So.
They are killing it. They're another one who
great
is
folks.
Standing out amongst a huge pack. Yep. So shout out to Hopewell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
How about you?
Well, I already talked about my dovetail thing. No, I'm just, looking forward to Six Nations as well. Ireland's looking very good. Very, very, very good. So if they better win that first game against England or else no one's going to show up to the rest of the tournament. But, you know, it's the only time I have money on sports. It's when, it's Six Nations and I don't actually bet any money, but we do a lot better when Ireland's doing well. So.
Sports ball.
Yeah, Callie's. Don't let her fool you. She loves the sports.